Psalm 46, listen now to the reading of God's holy word. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Let's seek the Lord's blessing on this, his word and prayer. O gracious God in heaven, we do praise you and thank you for again, the opportunity to be present in the comfort of your Spirit, by the power of your Spirit, that we are truly present together, even though we're in different places. And we would ask, Father, that you would be with us now as we come to this portion of your word, a wonderful passage of your word that gives us great comfort and hope, reminding us of an essential truth in times such as this. And we would ask, Father, that your Spirit would go forth with your word, and that as it goes forth, it will find within our hearts that rich and fertile soil, which brings about great and abundant fruit for your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, things have so dramatically changed over the past 2 weeks that it's hard to imagine that this is all really happening. Though we were certainly aware of the growing threat of this new coronavirus, I don't think anyone imagined 2 weeks ago that we would be prohibited from gathering together and perhaps even on the verge of a complete shutdown of nearly every facet of society, whether it's a worship or school, shopping, entertainment, sports, recreation, and even work. Well, certainly a growing fear has taken hold of many, and it's shocking to see, even as you go to the store and you see so many shelves that are empty or near empty in the grocery store. These truly are extraordinary times. And certainly the likes of which we have never lived through and hopefully won't ever see again. These are the times when we can so easily be overwhelmed by what's going on that we can get swept away in the fear and the panic of the world. It certainly is a great temptation. But as Christians who profess faith in the one true living God, we don't have to turn to fear and panic, because we remember that our God is the sovereign Lord who reigns over all, and that nothing happens outside of His most holy and perfect will. Remembering the sovereignty of God can bring us great comfort and the strength in these uncertain times. But what if God wasn't sovereign? What if he weren't in control? What if everything happened by chance? Where then would we find comfort? Where would we find hope? Where would we find the strength to pick up the pieces and move on? And whether it might be from a terrorist attack or a natural disasters like hurricanes or tsunamis or earthquakes or even sudden tragedies like accidents or traumatic injuries or even a viral plague that's sweeping over the nation. If God isn't truly sovereign, then there's no real hope and comfort amidst these calamities of life. Random chance, blind fate, and coincidence offer no purpose and no comfort, only meaningless, hopeless chaos. And this, of course, is one of the great dangers of the atheistic evolutionary worldview that's so prominent in our culture today and why so many people are now panicking. The only hope and comfort such a worldview could offer up in the midst of this kind of event is sometimes these things happen and sometimes they don't. You just have to hope that you're not in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's not very comforting, is it? But even though the truth is denied and suppressed today, we know that the truth is still the truth. God is sovereign, and He is in control. And in Psalm 46, we see that it not only emphasizes the sovereignty of God, but it also lays out for us the comforting results that we can enjoy and be strengthened by because of the very fact that God is sovereign. So first, let's establish the great truth that is being asserted in this psalm, that God is sovereign. Now, to be sovereign simply means to have not only the position to rule, but also to have the power and the authority to exercise that role. And so a king is sovereign over his kingdom. The king has the authority to make the laws of the land, and he also has the power to see that they're carried out and obeyed. This is his right, because he's the king. His sovereignty goes along with his position. Well, it's somewhat similar with God. God is sovereign because of the fact that he's God. But different from an earthly king who will at some point be replaced by another, God is eternally sovereign because there's no other God. No one can replace the Lord. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 46 verse 9 has the words of the Lord saying, "For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it." Well, from this, we learn that God, because He's the only God, can establish His purpose and accomplish His good pleasure, even declaring the end from the beginning. That is, even before it happens, even before the foundation of the world, God has declared what will happen. What God plans or purposes is what actually does come about, because there's no one to offer a different plan. Whereas a king can maybe overthrown or eventually replaced by another king, there's no other God to overthrow the Lord. Because He's the only one and true God, He therefore must be sovereign over all things. And He's sovereign over all His kingdom. Well, what's God's kingdom? All that He's created. God is the sovereign creator. We learn this, we come face to face with this truth right in the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And because God created all things, the universe, the galaxies, the sun, the stars, the moon, the earth, and all that it contains, Even we ourselves, God has created. We're all under God's sovereign rule. Again, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 64 verse 8 says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you our potter. And all we are the work of your hand." Because God is the potter, He has the right and the liberty to do with the clay, His creation, whatsoever He pleases. That's His sovereignty in action. And because we know that He's the most holy, just, true, good, and loving God, we know that His sovereign rule isn't by random chance or blind fate, but is orderly, purposed, and good. And where there is order and purpose, comfort and hope are truly offered. But here's a bonus. This almighty, sovereign God is our God. He's our God because He's the only God. He's our God because He's the God of all creation. But as we know, not everyone acknowledges God as being God. And this is what the Apostle Paul declares in Romans 1 when he speaks of sinful humanity suppressing the truth of God and exchanging it for a lie, worshiping and serving the creature rather than the Creator. But they're without excuse. For just because they don't acknowledge God doesn't revoke the fact that He truly is God and that He truly does exist. But God isn't just our God in that very general way, that is, because He created us. No, He's also, for those who trust in Jesus Christ, His beloved Son, He's the covenant God. This is what the psalmist is seeking to get across when he repeats in verse 7 and then again in verse 11, "The God of Jacob is our refuge." That is the faithful God of the covenant, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who not only promised that Abraham's descendants would be His people, but that He would be their God. The God who established them as a great nation, the God who delivered them from slavery in Egypt, the God who gave them a land of their own, this covenant God, who's shown Himself time and time again to be faithful and true to His promises, is their God. And He alone is the one true living God. And this God is a most gracious God. As the mention of Jacob not only reminds us here the people of the covenant God, but it also reminds them that God has graciously established His covenant with those who are weak, sinful, and undeserving. Jacob, remember, was a conniver, a liar, and a deceiver, and yet God chose Jacob to be the heir to the covenant promises. And so it's truly humbling that the God of all creation would so care for His creatures that He would establish a covenant with them, even with those who were sinful and undeserving. This sovereign, gracious, covenant God is our God. But there's something else significant that we discover again in verse 7 and verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. So this sovereign God, the creator of heavens and the earth, is with us. Our God is with us. He doesn't just sit in heaven aloof from His creation. He didn't just kind of get the ball rolling and then sat back to enjoy the show. No, He carries out His plans and purposes. He gets involved. He's a God who intervenes in human history. He's the Emmanuel, which means God with us. The God who dwells in the midst of His people, as we see here in verse 5. And here the psalmist is seeking to encourage the people because God won't abandon His dwelling place. He won't forsake His chosen city when she's surrounded by enemies. And if the psalmist could be so encouraged because of God's presence with them in the temple, well, beloved of God, how much more so ought we to be encouraged now that God's intervened in human history as He's never done before? For this great sovereign God became flesh and truly dwelt among us as one of us. The Lord Jesus Christ was Emmanuel, God with us. And during His ministry on earth, He time and again declared Himself both in word and deed to be the Son of God, the sovereign Lord of all creation. And remember how He demonstrates this sovereign power when He heals the sick, even of diseases for which there were no cure. He cast out demons. He multiplied a few loaves and fish to be able to feed multitudes. He turned water into wine. He raised the dead. And reminiscent of Psalm 46, verse 10, He even commanded the wind and the sea to hush and be still, and it became immediately calm. Jesus Christ is the sovereign Lord God. He's the sovereign God who's with us and whose Holy Spirit dwells in us, in those who call upon His name in faith. And because of this, because Jesus Christ is the sovereign Lord God, we, His covenant people, can have great comfort and hope amidst the tragedies of life, even in the midst of this current viral plague that's sweeping the nation and the world. Beloved of God, hear this truth. We can be comforted because our Lord and God is sovereign. Well, let's list through the various comforts then that we gain from this truth of God's sovereignty as noted here in Psalm 46. So first, if you look at verse 1, verse 7, and then again at verse 11, where we find this repeated phrase, God is our refuge and our strength. Now, as our refuge, the sovereign God comforts us by giving us shelter. Now, when you're standing outside, perhaps standing outside in the last day or two in particular, and it starts pouring down rain, well, typically your first inclination is to find shelter so that you don't get drenched. Well, the sovereign Lord God provides such a sheltering refuge. In order to get a break from the downpour, to rest in His comfort when the storms of life come rolling in, we look to the Lord for our refuge, for our shelter. And often we know that we find such rest and comfort when we seek Him out in prayer, when we make use of the means of grace through prayer and the study of His Word. But also when we join together with His people for worship. Now, in these unprecedented times, we're unable to gather together as we normally do. But again, I want to remind you that at such times that we should still rejoice and give thanks in God's good providence that we have this technology in order to be able to stay connected and still enjoy this comfort, even though it may be much diminished than from what it normally is. We can still be connected to one another. And so we rejoice and give thanks to God for that. That we can still encourage one another to seek our refuge in our sovereign Lord in uncertain times. Well, as our strength, the sovereign God comforts us by enabling us to carry on when we have nothing left. When the turmoil and tragedy that comes upon us drains us of our energy, it's then that we ought to seek the all-sufficient grace of God, which gives us strength to press forward in faith, even in the most troublesome of times. And so we find great comfort in the fact that the sovereign God is our refuge and strength. Truly, if God is for us, who can possibly be against us? No one. Another comfort of the sovereign God found in verse 1 is that He's a very present help in trouble. The emphasis here is that God is a help to us during times of trouble. Now, in the very present time, in the midst of the distress, the present distress, we know that, of course, in the end, on the last great day, that God will right all the wrongs, that He will bring full and complete justice. He will wipe away every tear and He will heal all diseases. We know that's coming. But the great comfort we have in the sovereign God is not only will He bring future and final help and assistance, but He also gives us help to us right now, presently, as we're enduring our various trials. This, again, is the comfort of Emmanuel. God is with us even now. The Spirit of Christ is with us even now to help us in the midst of this plague. That His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Each day, the Lord graciously gives us the daily grace and strength that we need to endure and bear up whatever we may face that day. And so the Lord helps us now because He's sovereign. Well, in verse 2 and 3, we see that the comfort we gain from the sovereign God is that we don't have to fear. We don't even have to fear itself. Quote was, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. We don't even have to fear itself. Look at the psalmist's description in these verses. Because God is sovereign, we don't have to fear even though the earth is moved under our feet. We don't have to fear even though the unmovable mountains are swallowed up by the sea or the oceans roar and foam. And so the picture that's being painted here is of natural disasters and calamities, things like earthquakes and hurricanes and tsunamis. All the wild forces of nature, though, would also be included. All kinds of catastrophes and things that are supposed to happen. A hole in the ozone layer, global warming, a new ice age, and even this viral pestilence. Whatever the catastrophe and whatever the destruction, we don't have to fear or panic because the sovereign Lord God is in control of all these things. What is there to fear if the creator of all the universe is our covenant God who cares for us? Well, in verse 4 and 5, the comfort of the sovereign God is likened to a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Even though the city is under siege by enemies, the river continues to provide water and refreshment for the people. Now, it's possible that this is a reference to the viaduct which King Hezekiah built to bring water right into Jerusalem. And this offered great refreshment for the people when they were closed up in the city during enemy assaults. But note that it's not only that they're refreshed, but even during the midst of their being assailed, the water brings gladness to their hearts. Gladness, because they're assured that God would be with them and that He would never leave them nor forsake them. And so the comfort to us that is that just like this river, God brings refreshment to His people because He's in our midst. He'll not only help us during our time of need, but He'll the confidence of the presence of the Spirit of God with us will bring us joy and gladness, even when others might think we would be better off being filled with anger and bitterness or fear because of what's going on around us in our lives. We have this comfort of refreshing gladness only in our sovereign Lord God, as He sends His Spirit to renew and refresh us and to make us glad. Well, because God is sovereign, we also have the comfort and assurance that we will be delivered, that our troubles and our trials won't overcome us to our eternal destruction. We see this comfort in verses 5 and 6 when the morning dawns, that at just the right moment, God will send His help. The nations and the kingdoms of the earth may rage against God's people, but by the command of His word, they'll be defeated and we will be delivered. Even in the midst of this virus, we're safe and secure in the Father's hands, knowing that nothing will happen to us outside His good and perfect plan for us. The plague will eventually pass. And even if we were to succumb to it, we know that the victory will still be ours in Christ Jesus as we enter into His glorious presence, as the Lord will truly deliver us to our eternal hope. And so, yes, we will be delivered because God is sovereign. Well, this leads to a final comfort that we find here. Our sovereign God will bring peace. Verse 8 and 9, the psalmist calls the people to consider the great works of God. That it's He who makes wars to cease. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear and He destroys all the weapons of the enemy. But note that this peace isn't a negotiated peace. That is, God doesn't bargain with the enemy. He defeats them and He subdues them and imposes His peace upon them. Only the sovereign God could bring about such peace. Well, ultimately, we know that this is the picture we have of the last great day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the sovereign Lord God. Christ, the sovereign Lord and King, will impose His peace upon the earth. And those who now confess and profess His name will gladly rejoice and sing His praise because we already have peace with God. But those who reject Christ now in this life will on that day be compelled to profess and confess His name before they're cast into eternal judgment. So we have, because of our God who is sovereign, we have a present peace and we have future everlasting peace. These truly are great comforts available to us. So what's to be our response then to these great comforts that are rooted in God's sovereignty? Well, in verse 10, just like Jesus commanded the sea and the wind, we're charged to be still and know that I am God. There are two key things that we are to do here. First is to be still, or some translations may have cease striving. When calamity strikes, it's challenging to be still because we know our typical alert response is to panic and run around trying in vain to take charge over a situation over which we have no control. We try in vain to gain control of things that we have no control over. And so the Lord calls us to be still. We mustn't panic. We mustn't fret about what's going on. We must not be anxious. We must stop striving to control those things over which we have no control. We must acknowledge our weakness and our limitations and just be still. Secondly, as we be still, it's not that we're left with nothing to do. But once calmed down, we can then expend our energy in a more productive way into seeking the grace and the mercy of God, placing all of our hope and trust in the fact that God, this great sovereign God, the creator of heaven and earth, the faithful covenant God, the God who's with us and never leaves us nor forsakes us, that this God is our God. When calamity strikes, our first response should be to be still. Fall on our knees and trust in the sovereign God to give us strength, wisdom, grace, and peace. Beloved of God, in the present crisis, we must understand really that the Lord has been preparing us for such a time as this. And as we gather together each week, as we study God's Word, as we're strengthened in faith, we're being prepared for such a time as this because we have presented to us now a great opportunity to serve and minister with a very calm peace that surpasses all understanding. We can go out and serve those who are consumed with fear and panic because we have the foundation of hope and they don't. And so we are prepared for this. God has providentially prepared us for this time. And as we remember the peace and comfort available to us because of our trust in a sovereign God, may we then calm ourselves in the midst of these times and look for those opportunities to demonstrate a great witness to our hope in Christ and in the gospel. So we are to be still, look to the Lord, but then also look for those opportunities to serve those who are panicking and overwhelmed with fear. Well, a second key response to the comfort the sovereign God provides is that we're to exalt and glorify Him at all times and in all situations. You know, just because we're in the midst of an extraordinary time, the likes of which we've never experienced before, doesn't mean our chief end and purpose has changed. In good times or in bad, in sickness or in health, whether we win or lose, whether we escape or not, we're to give all glory to God. This was Job's response when, after absorbing wave after wave of bad news, he confessed in Job 1:21, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And whatever the situation, we know that God will be exalted because He's always working out His plan and purpose. It's most humbling to acknowledge that God isn't just glorified when we excel and prosper in faith, but as is the nature of His grace poured out upon us, He'll be exalted and glorified even and especially in our weakness, in our trials, in our suffering, and when catastrophe touches our lives. For when we're weak, He shows Himself to be strong. So you see here in verse 10, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." But beloved of God, let's not be dismayed to think that there's no benefit then for us amidst our suffering and affliction, even as God is being glorified in our lives. It's only because God is the sovereign God that we have the great comfort of the promise of His word. In Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. All things here means all things. Our sovereign Lord God works out all things for our good, for those whose hope and trust is in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. We know this promise is sure and certain, as we're reminded at the end of the psalm, that the Lord of hosts is with us. The sovereign Lord is on our side. The God who is faithful to His covenant is our support, our protection, and our refuge. Ponder that great truth even now in your hearts and just let it savor there for a moment. Our God is in control. He is our hope and our refuge and our strength. There are so many things that happen in our lives, death and suffering, tragedy, losses, disasters, stresses, and yes, even this plague. So many things that happen in our lives that we as finite creatures sometimes struggle to understand and explain. What is God doing here? Why is this happening? And certainly even as a pastor, I struggle with these questions myself. And I confess that I have no explanation. I've no answer but this. Our God is sovereign. He's in control. And He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He will be glorified even in the midst of quarantine and isolation. He'll be glorified and He'll work out all things ultimately for our good. This is the only answer I have. Because these are the sure and certain promises of God's Word. And so when your understanding fails as things progress, and certainly it will, cling to these promises. Cling to these promises with every fiber of your being. By the strength of God's grace, cling to them in faith and find the peace that surpasses all understanding, as you rest in the comfort of the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. And as you do so, may you truly be a great witness to those around you, so that God alone might be glorified, even in this difficult time. Let's pray. O gracious God in heaven, we rejoice and give thanks for the great truth and the comfort of your holy word. And we would ask, Father, that you would just impress this truth upon us now, and that you would encourage us, strengthen us in our faith. And we certainly don't know where things will progress in this coming week or in future days. Even as things have progressed so differently that we would not have expected this even over the past 2 weeks. And yet, let us be reminded of this truth, that you are sovereign, that you are good and holy and just, that you love and you care for your people, and that you will be with us in the midst of this time of trial. And so we ask, Father, that you would also not only strengthen our own hearts and encourage us, but yes, even equip us and challenge us to even now take opportunity to rise up, to be faithful witnesses, to bring a sense of peace and calm to our neighbors and to those that we see around us in the stores and wherever it might be. That they might truly know there's something different about us, and that perhaps they would ask and inquire about the hope that is in us, and that you would give us the words to speak, to proclaim the truth of the gospel to them, that they too might find hope and peace in the midst of these turbulent times. Father, we just pray that you would just glorify yourself in this time, as we know that you truly will, even as you truly will work it out for our good. We ask, Father, now for your blessing upon these things and impress these truths upon our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.